Welcome again to the Self-Seed Podcast. And as I say, today is episode 13 and we are with Rosanna Hall. Did I say the name right though?
Yes, you said it perfectly, Rosanna Hall.
All right. Oh, yeah. Welcome. And today we have Rosanna Hall with us and she's going to take us through understanding our mindsets, and we are going to see how our mindset can make or break us. So if you're new to the podcast, remember the podcast is available on all major platforms and it is your friend in personal growth. So remember to always grab it and go everywhere with it. You can listen to it on the subway, you can listen to it in a bus, it's your choice. And I would like to take this opportunity to welcome Rosanna so that she can introduce herself, she can say hello to you guys, and yeah, before we start anything, before we move even further, welcome Rosanna. It's so nice to have you on the podcast, but it's so nice to also meet you virtually. Yeah,
thank you so much for having me, Iman. I feel very honored to be here on the Self-Seed podcast with you. And thank you so much for your time and for this platform and for all the listeners to this episode right now, too. Yeah, I guess I'll just get started introducing myself and a bit of my background. So as you've already mentioned, my name is Rosanna. So a little bit about me and why I'm very interested in mindset first. Yeah, so for me, I actually became very interested in mindset at a very, very young age. Right. My background is, you know, I grew up in an area that was quite, there was just a lot going on, you know, so I came from a background where there was quite a bit of poverty, violence, and, you know, a lot of things that in many ways could have held people back in life. Correct. But what I thought was really fascinating was I really noticed different groups of people, some who would actually thrive despite the circumstances, and right. others who, you know, might have gotten caught up in the environment that we're in and not do so well in life. So right. it made me really question, starting from a very young age, okay, what is it that makes or break people and gets them to, you know, not only survive, but thrive despite or maybe even because of their circumstances? Whereas other people, they might not have that situation as much.
That's very nice. And I remember reading, you know, your story and so on, and you began with, you know, stuff like volunteering at various organizations, and you said like YMCA, Migrants Children's Foundation, and so on. And now you have been like 10 plus years doing all this, right? Teaching different positions of, you have been to management, you've been as a teacher, as a mentor, I guess. It has been a rich journey, right?
Yes, yes. So for myself and my background, as you said just now, I started actually volunteering at a very young age. So I was about 13. And I think the first organization I volunteered for was the YWCA. And in this organization, we just helped immigrants who were new to Canada adapt to the circumstance. Right. And, you know, part of it was getting them to, you know, be in-grouped with people about their age, too.
Okay.
The start of my volunteer journey. But the reason I started volunteering was, first, you know, I was just very interested in it. I really love volunteering. It's actually one of my hobbies now. And, you know, when I was young and I started it, I didn't think it would be my hobby. I was just interested in trying this out. But, you know, as I volunteered with the YWCA and with in Canada, and then later in China, I volunteered with the Migrant Children's Foundation and courses offering people enrichment. So this was an equestrian therapy organization in China.
Right.
I learned so much about people and I learned so much about how people can be. And in these positions, so in addition to volunteer work, I've worked in the education industry for over 10 years, and I've worked in mental health and counseling for over about 6 years, almost over 6 years now, too. And, you know, in a lot of these positions, I was kind of playing the role of the mentor, like, as you mentioned, a teacher, a manager, a supervisor, an outreach advocate, a mental health counselor. And, you know, in these positions of mentorship, I realized, oh, I'm learning so much from these people too. And I learned that a lot of people, despite our various backgrounds and all this diversity, and, you know, I've worked with people from so many different kinds of cultures, age groups, etc. There's
right.
many, many things that we actually all share in common. And there's many, many things that we all kind of yearn for and want in life. Some of those are just very basic needs. For example, the need to belong, the need to feel accepted, the need to feel like we are significant, and the need to feel like we matter. So I think all of these things, they matter regardless of your background or where you're from.
I love the way you said all of us are united with a common need. We have common needs that doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter where you start, we are united with some common needs. And I visited your channel before, and most of the concepts you were explaining were about, how powerful a mindset is. And you're explaining about Mike Tyson, you explained about, I don't remember the guy from Harry Potter. And more people, you were showing how they train their minds to overcome different challenges that they faced, or prepare for a challenge that they were going to face, and so on. And I think even in your website, you say the key element that helps people survive, right? And thrive, you said it's the mindset. So that got my curiosity up of even renaming the podcast following your ideas and how our mindset can help us, can help us become who we are, or it can hinder us from becoming whom we are destined to be, right? So maybe you can share with me your thoughts or your understanding on the power of a mindset.
Sure. So first I want to say, I've delved into this quite a bit, and even then I think there's still so much about the mind that we don't understand. There's still so much about the mind that I still want to learn and explore. So there's definitely a lot more to this than what I'll share on this platform here, I'm sure.
No problem.
But what I have noticed with mindset that is very important is how we think about ourselves and how we dialogue with ourselves day in and day out.
Correct.
It's very simple, actually, but it's very, very, very powerful.
Right.
And the way you dialogue with yourself can do so much to determine where you go in life. It's a very simple phrase that people will say to themselves in many different ways is, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I'm not deserving of this.
Right.
They can do it, but I cannot do it. And, there's many different ways that this kind of negative self-dialogue can impact us and can show up in our mindset, right? We might play it in, maybe an image or a scene in our head where we're not able to get the job that we want because we feel like, oh, okay, we're not good enough. This job is too good for me. I cannot reach that level. And so you kind of sabotage yourself before you even go into the job interview, for example.
Correct.
Yeah. But, you can kind of do the opposite of that thinking too. So instead of thinking, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, you can say to yourself, okay, I am good enough, I am worthy, I can do this. But for example, maybe I've never done a job interview before. So what can I do to prepare myself for success? What can I do to make sure that I can show these interviewers that I am worthy, I am a good candidate, I can get this job? And I'm only using this job as an example. We can see this in many different parts of our life too. For example, in personal relationships, romantic relationships, and even reaching out to getting friends. Are you worthy of having good friends? Are you worthy of being in a social circle where they treat you well? So this is a very simple way of looking at the mind. And a lot of it is our dialogue with ourselves, actually.
I like it because it's so true and it's so practical, because when you look at different circumstances that we face in life, and I have this one example, one of my friends was saying, even when she doesn't know how to do a job and you give her a task, actually there were two friends, one is a lady and one is a guy, and they were all explaining on this scenario that when you give them a task, for example, it's a new thing, they never knew about it, they will never say that I can't do it. but they will tell you, okay, just give me a couple of hours and, you know, I'll get it done. And they'll scorch over the internet up and down to learn on how to do it, even ask for help whenever possible from other people who have done it, just to make sure that they complete the task. And they try to run away, I think, from that mindset that you say, running away from the I am not worthy, oh, I can't, or, you know, and changing that I can't into I can, you know. And it's so practical, because even in our relationships with other people, let's say you're in a social gathering, and this tends to happen because even I sometimes have it. And it's not, when you're in a social gathering, you tell yourself, okay, I don't see people whom I, you know, I can vibe with or something, or I can have a connection with. And you tend to tell yourself that until the point where you break that limit and you discover, oh, it was just a thought, you know. Yes. It was just a limiting belief. And it goes the same way in education. It goes the same way in life. There are different societies or communities remain where they are because of the narrative that they have been fed, that you have to remain on this level.
Yes.
Right? You are always supposed to be followers and not, you know, the leaders. No, you are always here. And it shows the power that when it shows just the power of our minds.
Yeah.
Because I'm reading the book of how do they say, by Napoleon Hill, you know.
Yeah.
Where you have, when you think, there's nothing greater than when a person thinks and has the desire and prepares the plan, and after preparing the plan, they even have the perspective to get what they want, you know. He was showing just how powerful our desire, our thinking, our mindset can be towards attaining a goal. And he gave one example as Thomas Edison, the inventor of an electric bulb. Yeah. And he said Edison was so committed that even past 50 failures, even past 90 failures of inventing the bulb, he was still determined to that I will make this possible. And I think this is the power with all the people that we see in the world today, right?
Yeah.
It's just that they differentiate themselves from the ordinary people because they had something in their mind and they were pretty determined to do it.
Yes, yes. And actually a lot of research, I think really excellent research from Angela Lee Duckworth on the power of grit and perseverance. And how perseverance, actually having this skill, this mindset, it can actually be like a mental muscle that you exercise as well.
Yeah.
Research has shown that actually perseverance, grit, tenacity, this can overcome talent. So if you have natural talent towards, for example, doing well in sports, but you don't have the tenacity factor, you're more likely to give up when the going gets hard. But if you don't have the natural talent, but you have the tenacity, the grit, you're willing to get up every time you fail. You're willing to keep trying again and again and again and facing setbacks and challenges. But you know, when you have talent and tenacity put together, that's when the magic can really happen and can really flourish.
Yeah. You give me, you when you explained about that, what came to my mind was just learning about some people like, you know, Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant, you know, seeing where they came from.
Yeah.
How they tell you the story of of Kobe Bryant, him being the, you know, having 55 people in front of you who are seen as, you know, the future of basketballers, who are seen as they will make it in high school and go to college and so on. And being able to, you know, overcome, pass one after the other until you become the best.
Yes.
It just shows you how extraordinary our minds can be. But especially on the example of Kobe Bryant, there was a point where he said, you just always have to put in the work, right?
Yeah.
Put in the work and always, I think, accept yourself, knowing that, talk to yourself, tell yourself that you will be whom you want to be. You will reach where you want to be. You will become what you want to become. And I think it shows the impact of self-talk, right? You say even in your explanation in about there's a power to how we talk to ourselves. You say maybe you tell yourself, oh, I can't do that. I don't deserve that. So there's power or there's self-talk has a great impact on our lives.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe you can show us how does this self-talk impact our lives? What we tell ourselves, either positive or negative, how does it, you know, come to fruition?
I think for this one, I can even give my own personal story with this one and how self-talk, you know, the things that you tell yourself day in and day out, it kind of becomes the automatic background for you.
Yeah.
You don't even realize that, you know, it's like a fish in water. The fish might not even realize they're in water, right?
Yeah.
And the words that you say to yourself, it becomes the water that you are swimming in. And you may not even realize that it's having these impacts on you. And it becomes not just part of your conscious mind, but your subconscious thinking too.
Correct.
So with my personal story and how I went from, you know, being in education, working in mental health as well, and then really gearing into actually working more with the subconscious mind in my hypnotherapy practice right now. So it had actually happened with a situation that I've been dealing with and in some ways really suffering from for over 20 years. So I had eczema. So for those of you who might not know, eczema is a skin condition. I had it mostly on my hands, my fingers. And it's a skin condition where it's constantly flaky, rashing, it kind of gets scaly, and it can get, it'll just kind of stay as kind of bubbles on your hands sometimes too.
Right.
So for me, growing up having this, I would see a lot of doctors, dermatologists, and specialists in Canada, and all of them told me, Rosanna, this is a genetic condition, which is true. Many of my family members also have eczema. Yeah. They told me it's a genetic condition. We've never found a cure for it, so you will just have eczema for the rest of your life, and you will just have to learn how to manage having eczema.
Right.
And, you know, what they would give me would be ointments, creams. I've taken pills before, too, and they told me, okay, avoid seafood sometimes. Try not to be too stressed. Avoid eating spicy food or food with too much milk products, things like this as well.
Yeah.
And sometimes when it got really bad, I would have to kind of wrap bandages around my fingers as well and avoid doing certain tasks. Even washing my hair became kind of difficult, to be honest. And then, so, you know, I just accepted these messages that I kept being told again and again until one day the eczema got so bad. It just kept, it's really gross, but it just kept pussing. It wouldn't stop. And this is a condition known as weeping eczema. So I was really desperate at this point because it became really impossible for me to just do my job, live my day-to-day life.
Yeah.
So I tried something that I never actually considered doing before, which was actually doing a form of hypnotherapy called RTT, Rapid Transformational Therapy. And during that session, we'd actually kind of regressed and we found the source of actually the anxiety and the stress that actually turned into the physiological result, which was the eczema on my hands. Once we were able to find the core root of this anxiety, the stress that I had since I was a child, we were able to extract it and then refill those beliefs, replace those beliefs with more positive and helpful beliefs. And after just one session and a few more months later, the eczema completely went away and it never came back. And I didn't realize it, but I actually had all this thinking and these thoughts and this anxiety kind of in my daily thinking that was just there, this water I was just swimming in. And not only did it impact me, you know, psychologically, but physically too.
Physically, it manifested physically.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's very powerful. And yeah, it shows just how much the way you would address to issues, sometimes it's all... you're still cementing the fact that it all starts with the mind.
What was
planted in the mind in the first place?
Exactly.
And how have we gone on taking care of it until it does now become a big tree or something? Or, and it shows that how much we can run to the rescue and try to, you know, cut it off somewhere. Because I learned that the tongue is very powerful, you know, the tongue can can pronounce death, the tongue can pronounce life. So
yeah,
it shows how much it is powerful. Thank you for your story.
That's a really beautiful way to phrase that. Like, the tongue is very powerful. The tongue can pronounce love, it can pronounce life, it can pronounce death. That is true. You know, the words that we hear from people who matter to us, who we see as our caretakers, guardians, our mentors, what they say to us can have such a strong impact on what we think about ourselves, and then later what we say to ourselves too. So the words we hear from our parents, our teachers, our relatives, our siblings, our friends, our partners, all of these are so powerful in impacting what we think of ourselves and what we say to ourselves later.
That's very true. That's very true. And we, I think from where we come from, we are always very cautious, especially when it comes to my parents. As far as they keep learning and understanding about, you know, the power of tongue. They are so mindful in pronouncing some words to the kids. And that's how they brought us up and telling us that, you know, you have to be mindful. What you call the other person might become of them, because, you know, when their ears receive it, it takes it to their mind, and the mind, you know, understands, okay, my mom said that I'm a dog. Now it starts like working in your mind and shows how much it will later have an impact to you.
Exactly. And you know, especially when we are children, our minds are still quite plastic. It's still
forming. Yes.
So it's very easy for us to kind of just take in the world around us. And you know, kids are extraordinary at learning language really fast, especially compared to adults, right? And in addition to language, it's the messages that the language holds too.
Correct.
So you call a kid a dog, maybe the kid will take it positively. Oh, I really love dogs. Oh, dogs are so cute. Okay, this means I'm cute. But they might also hear the word, oh, you think I'm a dog. Oh no, that's awful. It must be dirty and gross. Oh, I'm not a good kid. So, you know, all of us can hear the same words, interpret it completely differently. And then that way it will come into our mind, we'll think it a certain way, we'll receive the message a certain way, and then we'll behave a certain way afterwards.
That's true. It also goes to, like, you know, relationships. Let's say the people that we get into relationships with, and, you know, we are particularly different. When we go into relationships, meaning we are getting into a thing with another person who is totally different from us, that's a probability, right? And there's a way that maybe we don't accept each other for who we are, or don't work towards, you know, eliminating the struggles, the weaker points, and focusing on the strength and becoming a one thing. And then we end up saying, you will never succeed because you're like this. You will never succeed because you are like this, you know? And it ends up starting as words. But the person, since they hold us dear to our hearts, as you said, they carry it with them, knowing that, oh, they are not worthy, or they are not beautiful the way they are, or they are not intelligent. I mean, we have ways that I just recently learned about a method on how to think. You need to change and think from other people's perspective. But then most of us are not so much into that. We are so biased that we think from our own, you know, perspective, and we want every person to be the same as us. And this is where now we either hurt people. This is where we crush people. We bury people. And I think this is, it's just wise enough to be mindful of what we say, right?
I think so. And you know, a lot of it is not just what we say to other people, but it's also having that ability. This is an ability, a skill, to self-reflect and to actually reflect on the situation, and not just, oh, this person's actions means XYZ, but also my actions.
What do they mean?
Exactly. And you know, the skill that you're talking about just now, it sounds like the skill of empathy in many ways, right?
Like
being able to self-reflect, being able to put yourself in someone else's shoes, being able to actually kind of take a step back and put yourself in your own shoes as well.
Right.
And see how you were in that way, in that moment.
That's very good, because even, Jesus said when he met them, they were stoning a woman who was caught in adultery. He told them, why are you doing this? And they were like, yeah, he's blah, 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 blah. She's blah, 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 blah. And he said, anyone among you who hasn't ever done anything wrong or the same as her, then cast the first stone. And I mean, everybody left. So yeah. I think you mentioned that, I think in your narration, there's a certain process, or there's certain strategies that you followed to become, or to even how you're, maybe you're following right now, to always improve your mindset. Improve your mindset from time to time, become better. As you just said, like the first thing was, one of the things I caught here just recently is self-reflection, being able to resonate and think, how about me? How about me? What do I really want? Or who am I really to judge, let's say, the other person, right? So this is just maybe one of the strategies, or not, I don't know. But I'd like you to share with us what has been maybe your unique or just useful strategies that you have used across every now and then. Because you say the mindset development process is not just once and it's done, right? You said every now and then you have to renew your mind, what I call the renewal of the mind, right?
Yeah.
And every time you need to adopt maybe new strategies based on the circumstance, based on the times, based on, 13-year-old Rosanna, and now Rosanna, I then don't deal with things the same way. So what have been the strategies for the mindset change?
Yeah, very, very good question. And I think maybe a simple analogy I can use is maybe talking about phones and smartphones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because, when you first get a smartphone, it'll have a certain OS system and it'll have certain apps on there, right?
Correct.
And with every passing year, there's upgrades to the phone.
Correct. Right.
There's upgrades to the system.
Mm.
There's always updates and upgrades to apps too. And apps tend to become larger, take up more storage space in our phones.
Right.
And our smartphones, they become small size to pretty big size as well.
Correct.
And what we can see with this pattern in technology is it's a constant growth cycle, a constant improvement cycle. How can we make the camera even better than before? How can we make our system respond even faster than before?
Right.
How can we improve this app so more users will use it, or it's more intuitive for more people?
Right.
So this analogy, I think we can liken it in some ways to the human mind too. Like we're born and we pick up a lot of beliefs and messages from usually our primary caregivers, and then later educators, and later our social groups and the people we're surrounded by, and the messages we hear around us that we're bombarded with, such as advertising. So we pick up all these messages, and many of us, unless we're taught otherwise or we question it, we just accept them, we just absorb them, and we let them in. And it's very easy to just get a certain way of perceiving the world, a certain lens, a certain perspective of how the world is and how you are. But for example, the way technology was 10 years ago is incredibly different from how technology is now.
Correct.
And the way your life was 10 years ago is incredibly different from how your life is now. But many people, although physically they can see that the world is different, mentally, psychologically, they might still be living as if it was 10 years ago. So a very simple example from my own personal background as well is, I mentioned before, I came from a background surrounded by a lot of violence and poverty and such, right?
Right.
My situation now is much, much better. But it took me a while to, a very simple example is money. It took me a while to have a healthy relationship with money. I'm happy to say now that I have a very healthy relationship with money.
Right.
But for some time, when I was young, I had to work at a very young age. I had to really save pennies. Every penny counted. I was very careful about how I spent my money. And whenever I spent money, it was a little bit scary for me.
Right.
You know, like I've worked so many more jobs now. I've done a lot of positions. I'm quite happy where I am now.
Yeah.
But, you know, even when I was in a financially comfortable situation, I was still acting as if I was not. And so how did I get there? First, you really need to question your way of thinking.
Right.
Questioning is the first part. And then the second part is, okay, where do I go from here? How do I change this? And I think the change part might be the scariest because, you know, change can be very scary for many people. Because we know what to expect before change, but after before, change,
we don't know. It's a probability.
It's the unknown.
Yeah.
We're afraid of the unknown. And many people, maybe most people, they'd rather choose what they know and what is therefore safe,
right,
rather than going to the unknown and what is potentially dangerous.
Right.
You know, a big thing with the brain, the brain's job is not to make you happy.
Mm.
The brain's job is to keep you safe.
Right.
So it's a big turning point that people have to work towards to really get to where they want to be.
I love the way you just said how you made it that we are so, the brain is so happy to bring us to the known rather than taking us to the unknown. It's it will always make sure you're safe.
Yes.
And that's how we remain in our comfort zones and we don't reach the potential that we are supposed to reach. Correct. That's how you stated it. And I love the way that you even stated the first question you need to ask. You need to be able to ask yourself questions like why, what, how, when, where. Being able to know how to move now from this step that you are, that you're feeling stuck or you need the transformation point. To move to the next level, you need to ask yourself questions constantly. Being able to ask yourself and I think answer those questions.
Yeah, find answers through maybe mentorship, maybe through counseling, talking to people, doing research, listening to podcasts like these.
But
even then, because a really good example you gave before too was how, you know, we might be in social groups and maybe we try to lead these groups, but people tell us, okay, no, this is where you belong. You need to stay here. Keep the system stable. Keep it the way it is.
Right.
And, you know, it can be scary for everybody if one member of that group leaves. Because then everybody starts to question
the
environment and that group too.
That's very good. It does recall to it. Excuse me. It does recall to one of the experiences I had, and we were, you know, living housemates with one of my friends, and at one point he just, you know, decided he would want to, you know, deal with his life in a way that he has to go back and, you know, live alone, and he has to start afresh and slowly, and he has to get everything together, and. You know, when he was stating that fact, I think all of us in the house, we were like, no, you don't need to go. You know, what? I don't think you're missing anything. You can still grow while you're with us. You can still do great things when you're with us and so on. And this was because of, you know, the comfort we are used to. And it was difficult. But when he moved, I think when he made the choice, the step, I think it was nothing changed for us, the relationship, you know, but it was more empowering to him, to give him the space, to give him the time, to give him the period to deal with himself. And, you know, every now and then when we meet, it's like we miss each other. And it's just such a good thing to see that the person close to you has, you know, grown, has become something else compared to maybe 1 year ago or 2 years ago. And it's just so beautiful. But on the same hand, now we see that it's the people around us, our psyches, can be impactful, right?
Yes, yes.
And iron sharpens iron. And now you want a mindset transformation. Should we still belong to the same group? As you said, you know, the group might try to hold you and so on. Do you think the people around us also have a degree of impact to whom we are supposed to become, to change, or where we will stay. If it's a dormant stage, we want to move to an active stage. Do you think the people around us can influence that? And how can we, like, you know, how I can put this as to, you know, kindness, softness. And when we want to move, we want to grow, we don't need to be harsh, right? We don't need to say, like, you know, you guys are so backward and so on. And I just want to deal with myself and so on. How can we now at least move with peace? Because I do read from the Bible, it tells me, have peace with one another. So how do we move about that?
Yeah, actually, like, peace of mind is one of my, I think that would be like my core number one value in life too. How can we move about in life in a peaceful way? And, you know, we definitely make mistakes. I've made mistakes to, you know, how we interact with this, but it's like a learning process. You're always growing.
Correct. So
I think the first thing is to realize, you know, you might be in a group, but the group and you are still separate, right?
Right.
So that's the first thing. And, you know, to go to your example with your friend, you know, you were saying that when you talked with your friend, you were telling him, like, hey, you don't have to leave. This is actually like a pretty good situation. You can still grow, etc.
Right.
You know, your friend, it sounds like he went through this process of deciding to move out by himself.
Right. That's right. That's right.
This was his own personal decision. So the first thing I want to say is, you know, no one can make that choice for you.
Right.
This can only be your decision that you can make.
Right.
In counseling, like, a very common phrase is, you know, more than half the work is done when the person decides to enter counseling. No one else can do that job for you. You have to decide that you want that change.
Right.
And how you decide, how you go about making that decision, you know, it's your way of thinking again. So first, okay, how much will this change impact me? Am I ready for this change? Do I really want this change? Is the pain of, you know, staying here, is it worth it for me to continue staying here? Is it still good? Or is the pain of change less than the pain of staying where I am, right? Because a lot of it is about maybe avoiding pain rather than chasing a good feeling sometimes.
Right.
But the other thing too is, you know, again, how you talk to yourself. Am I worthy of what I want to go after? Am I deserving of what I want to go after? Can I achieve it? What will happen if I fail? But the other thing too is, instead of only looking at what if I fail, what if all these things go wrong? What if all these things go right?
Right.
What if the other side is even better? What if the change actually isn't even that big? It's just very big in your head. Because it sounds like what happened with your friend was actually, you know, he left and everything was kind of fine, actually. Like, the friend group between you guys, it was, you know, in many ways still very stable.
Very much.
Friend was still able to achieve what he wanted. So actually everybody got what they wanted in the situation.
Win-win situation, yeah.
Exactly. So this is, you know, the individual part of it.
Right.
And then the group part of it that you're asking about. I don't think you necessarily need to, you know,
lash out
or even let go of your social circle. Realize, okay, this is my personal journey and other people might resonate with this journey and people might not.
Right.
It's nothing personal. It's just where you are on your journey and where other people are on their journey too. And maybe at a moment in time, you and that social group were a good fit, and maybe you become less of a good fit, and maybe in the future you will be a good fit again, but maybe just in this moment, as you are transforming and maybe changing, and the group is not, maybe just in this moment you guys are not a good fit. But it doesn't have to be such a extreme thing that we put ourselves through. It could just be, okay, this is just what is happening in this moment, and it is just for now. Exactly. And it can just be for now. And, you know, this is how I am. This is how these people in this group are. And, you know, maybe in this moment we are growing in different directions, but maybe later we'll grow in the same direction again.
Right.
So it doesn't have to be something so harsh, so scary and fear-based. It's just, okay, this is how it is for now, and this is how I choose to be for now, and this is how they choose to be for now.
I like to say that everything will be all right, as Bob Marley's Three Little Birds song goes.
I love that song. Yes.
Yeah. Don't worry about a thing, because every little thing is going to be all right. It just, I feel like everything just needs time, and time can tell, you know, everything. The choice that you made, was it wrong? If it was wrong, you can still celebrate about it. If it was right, you can even celebrate more about it and be joyous about it. Yeah. So with time, everything is going to be all right. You just need to make the choices. You need to ask yourself the critical questions, and you have to find the answers. And when you find the answers, you need to make action, right?
Exactly. And a big core part of this is taking responsibility.
Correct.
For your life, for your actions, for what you decide to do too. I think, you know, it can be quite easy to give responsibility to somebody else.
Right.
Whenever we, maybe blame would be the right word for this, but you know, whenever we say, oh, okay, I can't do this because my parents don't want me to. Oh, I can't do this because it would upset my partner. Oh, I can't do this because, I don't know, my teacher said my situation isn't good enough. You know, some of that is true, but some of that is you actually giving a lot of your power away, giving a lot of your responsibility away. When you fully accept what you can be responsible for, that is actually when you have the power to have the ability to do something with your life, do more with your life too.
Right. That's very nice. And you just mentioned, and I think along the way we have seen that it can be challenging, right?
Yeah, definitely.
To do all of this, it can be challenging. And I remember I've made a previous season, I talked about change. Change can be bitter, but it can be rewarding at the same time, right? And challenges, we need to reframe our mindsets, reframe our eyes from seeing just challenges as challenges and seeing them as opportunities. Being born from a moderate household does not stop me from being the world changer that I want to be, right? Becoming achieving the figure, the number, the bank account numbers that I want to achieve just because I came from a farmer's household, right? So we will face challenges, and we do face challenges in our careers, in our relationships, in our just daily existence. We face challenges. How do you deal with challenges personally? Because I have my methods, but maybe your methods also hearing them, it's a better way, you know. So
actually, I'd be very interested in hearing your method too, but I'm more than happy to share mine first.
Please go on. You're welcome.
So the first thing is, you know, when we encounter a challenge or a difficult part in life, many of us will have emotions attached to it, right? Like we'll feel frustrated, we'll feel angry, we'll feel
very scared. Very much.
We'll feel resistance, like, oh, I don't want this to happen. And we'll kind of bargain with the situation. Oh, maybe if I do this, then it won't be like that.
Yeah.
So the first thing that I do is I actually just allow myself to feel all those feelings and release them. That's so how do I release them? Like maybe I'll talk to a friend, maybe I'll talk to my partner. Maybe I'll journal, maybe I'll draw, maybe I'll do some exercise. I will allow the feelings to kind of just release through my body. Feelings are very important to just kind of process. And feelings can teach you so much if you just take the time to listen to them.
Correct.
So this way, I kind of consider feelings like a guest
in
you. And, you know, the guest is visiting and you just allow the guest to enter, learn from the guest, talk with the guest, and they'll leave when they're ready to leave.
Right.
So first, I will just feel those feelings until I feel like, okay, they've kind of released. And then the second thing I will do is, I will try to learn from the situation. So this is another mindset that I think can be very powerful. But in almost every situation, there's always something I feel like I can learn, that we can learn. Even if we already know so much, I think there's always more that we can learn. And instead of seeing this situation as a burden, it can kind of be a gift. What can I learn from the situation? What can I receive from the situation? How can this situation help me become more of myself or become a better version of myself? Right. Or maybe just, okay, just what can I learn from the situation so I don't have to deal with the situation in the future, even just this? So I think, you know, sitting down and really reflecting on, okay, what can I learn from the situation?
Right.
And then from there, you know, again, using this mindset, like a student's mindset. And I noticed, again, when I worked with students and younger people, many students are so receptive to just learning. They're kind of immersed in that. They expect themselves to learn. They expect themselves to make mistakes. They expect themselves to not know. And, you know, when we're older and we're no longer students, it's so easy to think, okay, I already know everything there is to know, so let me just stop. And I don't want to, like, be a student anymore. I used to think like this. And then I was like, wait, no, I think I'm being kind of silly. There's always something to learn. And there's always something that I can receive. And when I, like, counseled a lot of students, I realized, like, wow, I actually love this mindset that these students have. Not only do they think, okay, I can always learn, they think learning can be fun. Learning can be easy. Learning can be amazing.
Right.
And, wow, okay, you know, I can think this way too. Mm. And they really taught me to adopt the student's mindset. And from there, I really noticed my life became so much more colorful, so much more interesting. And you can see the experience as kind of an adventure as well. So again, a different way to perceive something and to think about it, and therefore how you dialogue with yourself with it.
Mm. I like the way you just stated how easy it is to deal with challenges. People think, you know, when it comes to real life, it sounds so difficult, but it can be so easy on how we deal with the things that we face, the Goliaths of our lives, right? You say you need to first, you allow the feelings, allow yourself. You're a human, you know. You can feel how you're feeling, and it's right and it's acceptable. And now, you know, going to that second part where now you try to ask yourself and you try to deal with it, trying to now come out of it. What am I learning from the situation? Okay, why did it happen? What is the core motive coming with this situation? And I think it's the same way that I face challenges, because when I learned that challenges have a reason as to why they happen to you. And the key differentiator of you and any other person would be on how you pick the reason. Trying to, if you can, you are able to remove that reason and understand it and work on it. It means you will become at the top of, you know, your category. Because let's say, you know, there are various categories and you're in this category. I like to say I'm on my own league. But now being able to accept the challenges and now understand, okay, what is the reason, you know, being able not, and I think that the important part where I highlight is being able to adopt a mindset where I don't blame anyone. Being able to take full responsibility by myself, because I know that, it so happens that the situation didn't happen. Let's say it's between two people, right? The challenge is between two people. If it's a quarrel between two people, it didn't just come about just because of one person.
Exactly.
I played a part. So how am I dealing with my part? You know, there's an opportunity for me to grow and avoid a future quarrel if I know right now why. I know the why right now. And it goes far beyond even in dealing with let's say things like finances, when we're dealing with my career, right? Sometimes I face challenges. I get overwhelmed with doing everything that I do.
I think all of us, yes.
All of us do get to a point where you even question yourself, why did I come down this path, you know? But I have a thing in me where I constantly remind myself of the greatest motive of coming onto this journey, and what do I expect? Why am I killing myself doing all of this You know, while other people, let's say, sometimes I put a phrase where I say people of my age group, they are doing, you know, having fun with their lives. And I'm here so invested, let's say, in the things that I want to do. And sometimes I feel like, am I missing out on life? But then it clicks back in my mind and says, why did we start? What was our objective?
Yeah.
Whom do I want to become? Where do I want to be? What do I want to achieve? How do I want to achieve it? I chose this path. So from there onwards, I go on down the journey. Whom did I want to achieve it with has always been not for me to prevent it from pointing fingers. It has always been, whom do I want to achieve it? Myself. Right?
Yeah.
I want God to help me to finish this journey.
Yeah.
You know, I'll fight so that I don't. And I think I'm very cautious in, let's say, putting responsibilities to people. And it does so happens a lot of times I put responsibilities and they don't get done.
Maybe
the way I want or on time. And I over time I learned that, you know, I have to accept people for who they are. But at the same time, I need to invest more into making things, into getting things done.
As a
person.
Yeah.
So that when you bring another person, it's the same with learning. I try to teach myself a lot because next time when I have the second person with me or I have someone close looking up to me, they won't learn from my words. They will learn from my, you know, actions. Yeah,
yes.
Like my life itself. It's explaining why I do what I do, how I do what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, so I think that's a way that I try to face challenges, seeing the opportunity and the same way, just like you said, now putting the incentives out there, knowing, okay, I face this. Why it's painful right now, but what am I being taught? What is life trying to teach me, right?
I think everything you're saying right now, they're all very powerful examples of empowering self-talk. So, you know, I think anybody who's listening, they're like, oh, okay, what kind of self-talk can I adopt instead? Just like rewind that past minute of all of these questions and all these phrases that you use.
Yeah.
And I think those are all examples of very empowering self-talk. And what are some core themes of what you were talking about? One is really taking responsibility. But, you know, taking responsibility for the things that you can control.
Correct.
And letting go of the things that you cannot.
Right.
Not control another person, right?
Yes.
So you just accept them for who they are.
Mm.
Not control, you know, like the outcome. You can control a bit of the outcome. So you focus on the parts that you can control. So I think when we are able to really do that, in many ways, it can actually give us a lot of peace of mind. Because I think a lot of people, and I definitely made this mistake in the past too, you know, we'll focus on things that we cannot control.
Right.
We'll focus on things that actually in some ways aren't really our business. Like, what is this person thinking?
It's not even important.
Yeah, no. And again, what another person is thinking is actually none of your business unless they tell you.
Right.
And then it becomes your business.
Hmm.
And, you know, actually when you practice this, you have so much more space and capacity for your own life, your own decisions, what you want to do with yourself, rather than, you know, what's happening with other people.
I like one of the books that one of my good friends got me for my birthday, and you know, he knows that I love reading, and he got me this book. It was How to Overcome Your Inner Battles, you know, and by Darius Fox. And I always mention this book because it is one of the latest books that I read. And it was like, it was explaining all about, you know, anxiety, fear, all of these things. Why are we giving so much power to these, you know, things that which were just meditated by the mind? You know, it's like the mind can meditate on positives, but we chose to empower our minds to meditate only on negatives, right?
Yeah.
And he says that, you know, everything that is conceived, the same way that you can do meditation to make your mind focus on positive aspects.
Yes.
The fear, all the anxieties, sometimes and most times and all, if not all times, they are created by you allowing your mind to focus on the unknown. you know, focus on the negative sides. Like how you just said, you think of what will the other person think?
Yeah.
How will they see me in the society? You know, and things that are out of your control. Why would you put them the first place? Somewhere along the line, you said, it's like you're giving power, you're taking away some power from you and giving it to your circumstances, to the people around you. And you're depriving yourself of the power and the authority and the, you know, uniqueness that was given to you.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and all of this is just because of, you know, this fear and thinking that, I love the way you put it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for bringing up that book. I really love to read too. So like, I'm going to take notes of some of these books and add them to my reading list.
Yeah, and it's a very good book. Yeah.
Cool. I think a lot of what you're talking about as well, you know, a lot of it is fear-based thinking, thinking from a place of fear, right? And again, I think this can kind of go back to our psychological wiring, like how our brains are developed to keep us safe.
Correct.
And a big way to keep us safe is to focus on, okay, what can I do to prevent something dangerous from happening? And then it becomes easy to turn this into a habit of thinking that's fear-based. Oh, okay, how do I avoid this from happening? How do I prevent this from happening? Oh, okay, I see that there might be a problem here, like a 1% chance there's a problem. So let me just put so much power and effort into avoiding that 1%.
Right.
Doing it, right?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So how can we make that mental shift? Actually, one thing you mentioned, meditating is so powerful, because again, it allows us to kind of step back and actually just look at our thoughts. And every time we see our thoughts for what they are, we can say, oh, okay, these are the thoughts and this is me and my thoughts can be separate.
Yeah.
And then we can actually change those thoughts. And one very simple way to do it is just do the opposite. So for example, if you're thinking, oh, what if I fail? Let's do the opposite. What if I succeed? Right? And every time you catch yourself saying the negative thought again, like, what if I fail? Switch it back to what if I succeed? And you can think about it as like mental workout for your brain. So, you know, we go to the gym, and the way you build muscle is you kind of tear your old muscles and then you recreate them and then you're stronger. That's actually kind of very similar to what you do with your thinking, with your brain and your habits as well. You look at what you have, and it can be quite painful to look at this.
To deal
with.
Yeah.
Because we're so attached to these thoughts, but it doesn't have to be painful if you detach it. And the more often you practice this, the easier it becomes, the stronger your mental muscle becomes too. Another very practical way we can do this is actually being careful with the words we surround ourselves with. So one very simple example of this is music. You know, a lot of music we listen to, I mean, not to say it's bad music, but a lot of music we hear is like breakup songs. Like, oh, how can you come back to me? I'm never good enough. I'll cry my heart out. XYZ. I mean, they're good songs, but is it really helping you in that situation to like feel sad from the song that you heard? Maybe not. Maybe switch the song to something more empowering. Thing that gets you in a better mood, especially when you wake up in the morning and before you go to sleep. What you think right when you wake up and before you go to sleep, it can have such a powerful impact on, you know, how you feel throughout the rest of the day.
Throughout the rest of the day, yeah.
Yeah. So I think, you know, the music you listen to can be very powerful, because those are words that you're literally like constantly listening to in your brain that you're playing to yourself as well. And then a final exercise, like actually I've been using this one for the past several years and I found this very transformative for me. But for my New Year's resolutions, I stopped making physical ones and I started making mental ones. So for example, a mental New Year's resolution that I practiced was, okay, why not, instead of automatically taking something personally, I automatically take it impersonally unless proven otherwise. And I was like, okay, this will just be my mindset resolution for 1 year. And it's really scary and it's quite daunting and it's very different from what I'm used to, but I will give myself a 1 year limit. And if it's not working after 1 year, then I'll just give up on this. So every time I was scared and I faced resistance from myself, I would just go, hey, it's 1 year resolution. Just keep to this for 1 year and you can always give up on it later. And I found this was very transformative, very helpful, because every time I was scared, I would just remind myself of the deadline. And, you know, in that way, it's not such a big change. It's just like a 1 year resolution. And I also found like, hey, you know, when I adopt this mindset, it's actually quite easy because it's just a very simple shift that you make, but it can make such a profound effect. And after 1 year, I was like, hey, this mindset's quite good. I'll just keep it.
That's nice. That's nice. Hey, if you're listening, still listening to the podcast, I don't know where you are, but I hope everything is well with you. And remember, you're listening to season 3, episode 13. And today we are with Rosanna, and she's showing us how our minds can break or make us. And I hope you're enjoying the conversation. Do remember to subscribe on your listening platform, please, if you can. And the important thing that I love is if you can let us know what you think about the podcast episode. And if you have any questions, do send them to me and I will deliver them. And if you'd love also to have Rosanna again on the podcast, do let me know. This is the Self-Seed Podcast, your friend in personal development. And I think, Rosanna, this brings me to the point where I would like to invite you to share with the audience on how can we, me and the audience together, how can we connect with your work? I'm pretending that I don't know how to connect with your work, but yeah, how can we connect with your work? Because I mean, you do a lot of awesome work, helping at least, if not how it is seen, but helping people understand the power of their mindset. And from there on onwards, it's like you help them become Alexander the Great, you know, become their personal Alexander the Great, become their personal kings and queens and princesses and princes. And it's so powerful. And I'm sure someone listening out there, wherever they are listening from, maybe they are smiling right now because I'm saying out there. But yeah, whoever is listening would like to connect with your work, and they are looking maybe for a mentor. They are looking for a hypnotherapist. They are looking for a friend who can guide them in their difficult times. How can they connect with your work? You're very much welcome. This is your space to flex your muscle.
Oh, thank you so much again, Evan. And yeah, I'd love to connect with anybody who's interested in connecting with me too. You can find me quite easily on my website, so www.rosannaho.ca. So that's RosannaHo.ca. And then you can also find me on LinkedIn, just searching up my name as well. And I'm also on WeChat, RosannaHo_ca. And yeah, feel free to connect with me on any of these platforms. I'm quite regularly on them, so I'm more than happy to hear from anybody.
Thank you so much. www.rosannaho.ca. Guys, let's visit there and let's learn more. And actually, on our website, she has shared our story. So I hope the story inspires you and, you know, allows you to even be more confident on the person that you're connecting with or you're going on a journey with. And yes, remember, the Self-Seed Podcast is brought to you by OC Outdoor Products, and you can head on to www.ocgroup.com to understand what OC can offer for you. The services, the products, as long as you love sports, fitness, adventure, outdoor adventures, athletics, just head on there and you'll get all the useful stuffs. This is the Self-Seed Podcast. And today we had Rosanna Ho. Rosanna, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Thank you so much for sharing awesome insights. You have made us understand how our minds can, you know, make us be kings, or it can make us the slaves. You know, slaves, like the choices, the words we tell ourselves, the actions that we take. You have made it seem so easy to navigate life now, you know. I'm sure someone listening, he or she was also saying, oh, so it's that easy to deal with life? And yeah, you have shown us that it is possible to take control of our lives and to become whom we want to become, right? You have shown us how to even become who we want to become. You have shown us when we face challenges, we need to, you know, reframe, we need to question, we need to now start the actions, you know. And it is at this point, before we conclude, I would like to welcome you to share anything that you have with a guest listening, with a listener, you know, and maybe anything you'd like to leave them with, any word of encouragement, anything. You're welcome.
Firstly, thank you so much for having me on your platform, Aman.
Don't mention it. I'm very grateful. It was a pleasure to have you. Thank you for coming.
And thank you so much to anybody who is still listening right now, too. And, you know, I would love to just say to anybody listening, to everyone out there, you are so worthy. You are really worthy of fulfilling your potential, of becoming all that you want to be, of becoming all that you can be. We all have this innate potential. We all know we can do more. We can strive for more. We can have exactly what we want in life too. But you really must believe that you are worthy of it. You are good enough for it.
That's with the mind, eh?
We are. Yes. And I really believe anybody is worthy of it. You know, we make mistakes. We can be fear-based too, but you know, you can forgive yourself as well. And instead of being fear-based, you can be based on abundance, based on acceptance, based on navigating life with this strong belief, strong confidence that you can do it. And I believe that anybody can do it. Anybody is worthy. Anybody is enough.
Anybody is worthy. Anybody is enough. Hey, if you're still struggling, just know that, you know, somewhere at some point someone went through the same and they conquered it. They became, you know, whom they are right now because they conquered what you're going through. So, and Rosanna just reminded us that remember that you're worthy. You're worthy. You're so much loved. You're so much appreciated. And I think that signs out my podcast episode for the day. This was the Self-Seed Podcast, Season 3, Episode 13. And we had Rosanna with us and she was teaching us so much, so much. And I would just like to say one more time. Thank you so much, Rosanna, for accepting to be on the podcast. It was really a pleasure listening to you and grabbing things from you. Not just saying grabbing because I don't want you to feel like maybe nobody is listening. If you feel like nobody is listening, I am the first listening. I like that you placed one of your yearly mentor goal for the year was like, don't take anything personal. Take it impersonal, right? And so, yeah, I just want you to know that, yeah, I was listening and I learned more from you. And I just love the mindset that you said, adopt a mindset of a student. Constantly learning, always having, finding joy in learning, right? And thank you so much for coming to the podcast. It was so nice. And I'm sure even the listener enjoyed. And that concludes on my end. And I guess I'll see you guys or hear from you next time. This is the Self-Seed Podcast, your friend in personal development.